November 9, 2021, it's a Watch from Pedro show.
Wipe off all my charms. I learned to breathe.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with, it's easy to remember, John Coltrane. Then Mia Doy Todd with Spring. And because of them Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Mia Doy Todd. Welcome aboard, Mia.
Hello. Here in Glendale, California.
Yeah, great. Glendale. For a little bit, Nils Klein lived there. He said, got to watch for the police. They don't have a lot to do, so they can cause trouble.
Yeah, I think it's gotten a little better.
Yeah, this is
over the years. But yeah, Glendale has a bad, some bad history.
I've had some good. I think I mixed my first opera in Glendale, Air Studio.
It's changed a lot. They built this big outdoor mall, the Americana, and it brought all these, like, a wider variety of people here. I think it's positive for Glendale.
Big Armenian community.
Yeah, right? That's about 50% of the population, or 60% even, maybe.
Yeah, coming over from North Hollywood and Hollywood and East Hollywood.
Yep.
It's an interesting
place. We have really good, we have some great food options here.
Oh, yeah. Well, SoCal's very happy in that way. But I'm interested in your music and your journey with music.
Yes.
So can you bring us the earliest musical recollection you still have, memory?
Oh, yes. Well, I went to a religious school, a Christian school, and I had a music was a big part of our education, and I have that to thank, I think, for me being in music. My kindergarten music teacher, who was with us all the way through sixth grade, her name was Miss Mesa, and she played a nylon string guitar. She had big, curly black hair, and we sang, like, folky Christian songs for 1 hour every day, and we would pass around this songbook and get to choose our favorite songs, and I'm a lady with big curly hair, and I play nylon string guitar. So I really have Miss Mesa to thank for that. I was looking through my school yearbook with my daughter the other day and saw a picture of Miss Mesa. So it was good to see her, a picture of her, because she had just become this figment of my memory. So, that, and then when I was a teenager, my neighbor was an opera singer, and he gave me private vocal lessons in his living room, and I grew up in Silver Lake, and at that time it was a very artsy neighborhood. It hadn't had like the renaissance that it had and then has continued on from there. So my neighbor gave me vocal lessons to be like an opera singer, but I'm a very petite person. I'm not really an opera singer type, so it took me a while to find my own voice. And indie rock was in full swing in the, you know, early 90s, and I started going to a Jabberjaw and little shows and started writing my own songs and finding my own voice. And I don't know, I think with singer-songwriters, you often find your voice quite young. Like in your early 20s, you find a way to express yourself. So I found my path pretty early on, and I made my first record in 1996 in Sierra Madre. I was like a big fan of this band called Further that was popular in LA at that time, and started dating one of the guys, and he recorded my first album in 96 in this little awesome garage recording studio called The Spaceshed. And then I just went from there. I was playing shows every week. Back then, I had to write a new song every week, you know, to play on the weekend at the show. And so it was a very creative time. And before the internet took off and all that, it was very grassroots, everything.
Well, before that, when you were a girl, was the only place you sang at school? Was there any singing at home, or was there instruments?
My dad, he's a sculptor, and he was really into Miles Davis and jazz, and he would turn on, he always had a really nice hi-fi system and would blare jazz music really loud while he did his paintings and his sculpture. But music wasn't, neither of my parents were musicians, though my dad always likes to think he's an Irish tenor. He likes to sing, but neither of my parents particularly.
He's a big time listener, though.
Yes, yeah.
So that was righteous because you got to hear all kinds of things.
You got to have people listening too, I think. Yes. And then I had my parents' vinyl collection. They had, you know, Beatles records and maybe a Leonard Cohen album, a Joni Mitchell record, you know. So I had some early vinyl in my life.
What about at school?
I was school, really into singing, yeah.
You were saying at the Christian school, you guys passed around the songbook and stuff. But what about things like marching band?
Oh, well, we had a madrigal choir in my high school. I was singing, and I didn't really, I never took guitar lessons. I wish I had. I was very much self-taught on the guitar.
Well, what about
and my hands are really tiny, so I have my physical limitations that, you know, kind of, sometimes limitations are good because it just sets you on, you know, you can only do so much, so you do what you can with what you have. So,
well, it seems like Miss Mesa used acoustic guitar for accompaniment, so you probably maybe learned stuff like that, like chords to back up your singing.
Yes, very simple chords early on. And then I started exploring with different tunings so that I could reach more, you know, strings with my hands and find more nuanced chord, you know, worlds that that could express emotions more subtly.
Can you remember the first song you wrote?
There was a generation of songs that got lost, but luckily that album in 1996, there's one on there called Planting. I don't know if it's one that I sent you, but that's the first song I remember writing. And there's that spark that happens, that creative moment. I think Joni Mitchell said, songs are like tattoos, you know, you carry them with you. So I think of that song and I sing it and it takes me back to that moment that I wrote that song, and it's so awesome that way. So that's called Planting. And
you've got a culture of it going on, because like when me and D Boomer boys, like no one we knew wrote their songs. Everybody tried to copy shit off records.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
You know what I mean? If you don't know if that choice is there, if you don't know it's there. Like, no one we knew. The best guy was the guy who could play Black Dog the best. We never thought of music as a means to express yourself. It was more like something you did. So whether it was an original song or a copy song, it was just doing it. So I liked when the movement came in the later 70s, I really liked this idea where even if you didn't know how to play well, you could still try and make a song.
Totally. I think it was my limitations on the guitar that prevented me from, like, covering other songs. It just seemed really hard. So I would write my own two-chord songs. Yep.
And well, I got to tell you, if you're trying to copy Joni Mitchell, that's going to be tough.
Oh, my goodness. No.
She's a great guitarist, a great singer, a great songwriter, everything. So she lived with Mr. Mangus?
I know. I got to meet her one time.
Yeah,
big fan. I'm a huge fan.
Well, tell me how that was.
Somehow I got invited over to her house for a Christmas party, and I thought it was going to be a big party, but I got there, and there were only like 10 people there, and the mutual friend who had invited me said, oh, Joni, you got to meet my friend Mia. She's a singer-songwriter. You got to hear her music. And Joni said, oh, how do I hear your music? And I said, well, you know, I brought you the CD. So I handed her the CD. She's like, okay, great, let's put it on.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Oh, no, really? So we played pool and listened to my album, and I was just mortified. It sounded so horrible to me in that scenario. So embarrassed. But I heard later on from some other friends that she did like it. So,
That's scary. That is a scary moment, you know.
Oh,
be
terrible.
Inspired by it, but then you have to be almost like you're putting yourself out there to be judged.
Oh, that was too much.
You didn't give me Planning, but that's a great first song because that's, you know, you start planting when you start a garden, right?
Exactly.
You didn't give me The Rising Tide.
This is more part
of a cycle. Yeah, but planting is too. Let's listen.
gotta face a changing planet. Weather, land, ocean, and air. Population out of balance. Wages, world warfare. Can we fix it with our love? Can we rise above? Gotta face myself, can I manage? Ride those emotional waves. Will I just let it happen? The crush of hours, the crash of days. Can I learn from my love? Can I rise? Face to face with my love, finding recognition there. We take comfort in one another. Take time, take care. Can we live? Can we rise above? The
Thank you. Yeah, I saw them. Yeah, everything is similar.
resultar com o meu estilo.
Pedro Show, a chunk of music started. Me and Doy Todd doing The Rising Tide. Then Viz with his big piece called Veil, and this is part number 6, Reset. Then the Fifth Symphony Invocation to Trigger the Eruption of the Yellowstone Caldera from, this is the sixth movement, called Focus from big piece by the Eugene Oregon Band, Sentimental, Fence Post, Orchestra, God damn it, some kind of pun thing that I cannot say even with all this fucking practice, sorry. SLWCC Watt with Manila, collab I got with Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City, Bombas Prendon, Anima Pontifica, okay, adjective, Lagoon Monster, Rubber Mask, Volume 3, Part A2. Second installment of the new stuff, Bronze Age UFO or UFO out of Baltimore. Nfula Biswa from Scotch Rolex featuring Swordman. Actually, that's Brother Shige when he went to Uganda to have a collaboration with the Swordman. Okay, and then Wire with the John Peel session of 106 Beats at the Live at Streamfest 4 2020. That's Eviction. And then finally, Mia Doy Todd with Girasol de Cor de Se Soy Cabello.
Girasol de Cor de Seu Cabello.
Yeah, trying to...
That's a duet with Jose Gonzalez that was on the Red Hot and Rio compilation.
Yeah, I was trying, you know, I hear 11, I've been in Southern California Pedros. It says 9 in it. Still fuck up Spanish. Everything, you know.
That one's a Brazilian song by Lo Borges.
The great writer, Aleph. I know all about his incredible master of short stories. Spent a lot of time in Switzerland, but some of that magical writing type of style out of South America is beautiful.
Yeah.
And the collab you did, Jose Gonzalez, I got to be on a bill with him. He's an amazing cat. Very humble. Yeah. Very humble man.
I did a tour, a North American tour with him. So we got to hang out for a couple months. He's awesome.
I was really impressed by him. Really impressed. A lot of weight without having to have any front, you know? No pushing.
I know.
Kind of
and just
something.
Perfect every time. He has skills.
He does have skills. Yeah. And he's got even keel. He got it very even. He must go off sometime somewhere, but I was, when I was with him, he's such an even keel cat. He's quite an inspiration. So
he's also very funny. That's one thing I've noticed. Sometimes people who have very serious music.
Yeah.
He's very humorous in person.
Right,
and sometimes
right.
people with really funny music, like jokey music, they take themselves really seriously. But Jose, he's a joker.
I can imagine Weird Al Yankovic. No, maybe I don't. But Jose, he's something else. He really impressed me. Without trying, you know, just being him. It was beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. Now, here's the thing about them. It's sort of like a horn player or a string player in the school bands. Because when it's time for after school, not graduation, but afternoon, the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band, really no place for you, right?
In today's world?
Even, you know, just the idea of having, you know, bass, drums, and guitar, and you're just trying to rock out. It's just, you know, to me, instruments are instruments, and music is music. But in rock and roll, there definitely is some prejudice against some instruments. I mean, for a little while in the 90s, you could be a horn man and be in a ska band, right?
Oh, yeah, to be a horn player, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But also singer-songwriter, right? It's almost woman alone.
Always alone. Yeah. Though I love jamming. I love to play the drums.
I was going to ask, did you have experience of doing that garage band, basement band, bedroom band stuff?
Yes. In the beginning, yeah, for sure. And as I was saying, I love to play the drums. I'm not a good drummer, but anytime there's a party and there's like a drum kit and nobody wants to play, I'll be the one to make a fool of myself. So, yeah, I love to play and jam. And when I was in college, I was in a band that was kind of loud and I played electric guitar. But I'm really a singer and kind of on the classical side of things. So I wanted it was so hard to sing. So I retreated back to the nylon string. I mean, I played steel string for a long time, but even that, I found that the nylon is nicer on my fingers, and also it accompanies my voice, I think, more
you
than
know,
this.
The lady with the opera background that did the rock and roll, what was her name? Pat Benatar, right?
Oh, yes.
But, you know, they built that around there where she was kind of using that to her advantage. But you said, when you say classical, even though that cat was giving you the lessons, that wasn't your calling, really, though.
No, I feel like I'm more of for self-expression. And, like, I do now feel the calling to write, like, an opera, something like that. Not a traditional opera, but something kind of far out, go, you know, more like artsy rather than more pop. I've tried song. I'm a songwriter though. People have been sending me, like producers have been sending me tracks, just one-offs to do vocals on.
Yeah.
And it reminds me what a songwriter I am. And then when it comes back from like on some compilation and everybody else's is very abstract, mine is like such a song. So I'm like a lyricist, you know. I'm an old-fashioned.
Well, it probably goes back to your foundation where you're taking the songs from the songbook. Everything was kind of maybe focused on songs in those days, and now you're moving into places where what's the idea of a song? Like to me, the idea of the opera I'm not talking about historical, but I'm talking about the big picture. It's one piece made out of a bunch of pieces to make a big story.
Yes, yeah, I want to dig my heels into something like that and tell a story.
Right.
I did something like that 10 years ago with a dancer. I did music for like a one-hour dance performance where I was just a singer and the songwriter in this. It wasn't me in the spotlight. It was the dancer. And that was very exciting. So I love dance.
You put music to the choreography.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So I'm planning to do something like that in the future.
Yeah. That's really an interesting collaboration. You know, it's sort of like crossing over to with the films.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I did a soundtrack too a few years ago. That was really fun. And I like to be useful and, you know, like find what is best for the scene. And I enjoy that process.
What was your first gig, Woman Alone?
My first gig. Let's see. Well, I used to play maybe at like a club that I like thought highly of was maybe Jabberjaw.
Sure. Pico. Korean
Yeah. And then I was living on the East Coast. So there was a place in New York called The Fez.
New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's a dance song called that, too. You mean your first gig was at Jabberjaw?
Maybe my first playing out gig was at Jabberjaw.
Yeah.
Besides, like, little things at my college. And then in New York,
It could get loud at Jabberjaw.
Yeah, that's true. But, but people were listening.
It was a very cool scene. I loved it there.
Yeah. I remember in New York, I opened for Elliott Smith at the Fez. That was one of my first real shows in New York.
Wow, that's a big gig.
Yeah. There were some good songwriters along the way.
Very sad what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. We're at the end of the first hour, November 9, 2021, Dish Watt Peters. So special guest, Mia Doy Todd. Hold tight for hour two. November 9, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Dancing mandala feet.
No vampires biting my neck. No Martians invading the earth. No zombies after my brain. It's a perfect day. Another happy day. The world is still spinning and I could ask for more than a night like this. No creeping terror, no creeping horror, no crawling voodoo hand, no demonic incantations. It's a perfect day. No devil with a pitchfork, no ghosts rattling chains, no curse of the undead. It's a perfect day. Perfect day in every way, morning, noon, and night. I'll sum it up in just two words. It's perfect. No crawling eye in the attic, no killer shrews, no phantoms from Planet X. It's a perfect day. So far.
Take it back.
how it's working. Tell
started
me, Ted.
The second hour with Mia Doita doing Summer Lover. Then we had Entering the Abyss of Isolated Mind from Wines Dover versus the Silver City. Remember, I got this gig Friday, and these are some Texas cats I'm playing with. Violent Squid with Careless Pass, Drug Mountain, You're Eating It. Jad Fair, So Far, So Good. Sailor Poon, Fly in Attic. And then Mia Doita, Fly This Place. So one's a verb, people, one's a noun.
Fly This Place. That's a song I wrote in collaboration with Dungen, the Swedish rock band Dungen. And that was for a soundtrack I did for A Midsummer Night's Dream, a modern rehashing of the Shakespeare play from a few years ago.
Yeah, I never thought it was a musical.
No, we have this stuff here.
In Pedro here, we've got a troupe, right? Shakespeare by the Sea. Even though we're working class town and stuff, we got Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, he was a working class man, I think.
Well,
and he worked so hard.
He probably didn't write him. You know, guy we think, he's
actually
spelled his name Shakespeare. The guy in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yep.
And then some people think that the guy was Shakespeare like Minerva what's her name?
Shaky's Pizza.
No, the one that sprung out of Zeus's head with the fucking spear and a helmet. Athena. And the Romans called her Minerva. Yeah.
She's
taking the spear, so they think it might be Edward de Vere, might be Kit Marlowe, whatever. Francis
Bacon.
Of things. But anyway, let's talk about you. You got some insights to Summer Lover.
Oh, yeah, Summer Lover. That song is from my album Cosmic Ocean Ship. That song, I feel like, is my most perfect song where it could exist outside of me. You know, anybody could sing it, and the song exists on its own. So I'm a songwriter. I'm always trying to make that perfect.
Let's talk about that, though, Mia. Do you write the words first or second, and do you have a big old catalog of words, or do you write on demand?
I write on demand. I do have a journal, but less and less these days because my life is very hectic because I'm a mother of two. So when the creative time comes, I have to just jump on that wagon really fast. But
yeah.
Summer Lover, that I wrote that before my kids were born, and I used to have tons of time to ponder life. So usually I have like a various guitar things or piano things going on, and I have a melody, and then one day it strikes me what the chorus words are, and then the whole song just writes itself. So I might be stewing on this for years, this little melody or some few chords that I hear, and then when I find the words that fit into that melody, the song usually writes itself very quickly.
Well, now you're in this new life with these two new shipmates. Don't they kind of become the topics?
Oh, yes. So my new record that came out this year, Music Life, is much more, it's all about motherhood, pretty much, and how motherhood and creativity go together, and how they're sometimes at odds. But it's such a creative time in my life, being in this middle of my life, being a mother, and it's not always like the artistic creation, but it feels so creative, like I am making life itself every day. So, I'm really in the middle of it. I have a 3-month-old son, and his name's Joao, and I have a 9-year-old daughter. So this second time around, I'm getting to really enjoy the process more. The first time, it's so shocking, and to go from being like a singer-songwriter, very, you know, self-indulgent and always, you know, being very free and then becoming a mother and being very responsible to another. That was a big shock. But by now, 10 years later, I'm so accustomed to it. So I can really enjoy the process of being a mom and caring for this little precious life. And it's so magical in the beginning. They're coming from, you know.
Talk about the beginning. You know what I forgot to ask you? What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Michael Jackson, Thriller.
Thriller, good record. A lot of people say that. What about first gig you saw?
First gig, I saw Michael Jackson Thriller Tour at Dodger Stadium.
That was a big gig.
Raining, and I was like, I was in third grade. I was pretty young, and my mom had gotten tickets. I went with my mom, and we had an umbrella. We were on the field and on these metal folding chairs, and we were standing on the chairs in the rain with our umbrella watching the Thriller Tour, and it was spooky. It was scary, and all with so many people. And then I was a big Cure fan, so it jumped quite a bit later, but also at Dodger Stadium, the Cure, when I was in eighth grade.
You like those big gigs, huh? That's all I had when I was young. I hated them. Yeah, I didn't know about clubs until punk moved. Look, there's a, like China, they got this religious way called Tao.
Oh, yes.
And Tao is kind of the way, right? Well, you gave me this song called The Way.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Do you feel it? Do you feel the dissipation? You float in the infinite, sinking deep into the echoes of time. Do you feel it? Do you feel the dissipation? You see your hand outstretched before you. Reaching out. You can nearly touch it now. Do you feel it? Can you reach it? Something beyond the universe. Something beyond knowledge. You see your hand outstretched before you. You almost have it. You're almost there. It's at the edge of your fingertips. Your molecules slowly separate. You reach further. Further than you have ever reached before. Do you feel it? Do you feel the dissipation? Your molecules are spreading apart. You are expanding like dust in a gust of wind. Do you feel it? You are going home. You are one with the universe. You are the universe. You are spreading further and further out. You are the cosmos. You are ever expanding. You are creation. You are life. You are love. Do you feel it? Do you feel the dissipation? As you float through the infinite. As you expand into the vastness of eternity. You have always been. You always were. Always. Forever. You are creation. You are life. You are love. You are the infinite. Do you feel it? You are home. You are free.
candle to our hands.
Watch for Pedro Show, that chunk of music start off Mia Doita, the way. Balance.
So that song.
Go ahead.
Oh, that song, The Way, that came out ages ago, and at the time, nobody was really thinking about, or the people were, but the global warming was not a big issue yet. You know, these days it's so obvious and everything is coming to a head, but that song was like the foreshadowing of like how civilization was coming to this crisis point. And so it's more appropriate now, that song, than it was when it came out.
Ain't that a trip? You're like a little Nostradamus.
Yeah.
We have Boundless Relaxation. This is a new project from Samuel Lockward. That was Dissipation M2. Tropicova Kuste Pesci. Slovenian. Mi smo zalutaj. It means that we have gone astray. And then Mike Adams and his Honest Weight. It's all been done, you said. It's got Thor Harris on the drums. Great drummer, man. Austin. And then finally Mia Doita with Take What You Can Carry.
That one.
Kind of philosophical.
That one is that one was produced by Scientist, the Jamaican producer.
Sure. Dub guy.
Dub master. Yeah, I got to go into the studio with him. It was so awesome to watch him work and get everything dialed in across the board and then just do the dub mixes live, you know.
Sure.
That was really awesome. But that one I wrote, it's actually about the Japanese American internment camps.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom was in the internment camps, as was all of her side of my family. So that was a big part of my...
You know about Furusato?
Furusato?
Furusato, yeah, a terminal island here. There's an island
between
Pedro and Long Beach. There's an island called Terminal Island. And there was a town, right?
That was a whole Japanese area, yeah.
I totally know about it. We got a memorial there. That's all that's left. They were given 2 days to leave.
Yes. So, yeah, my mother was born in L.A. My grandmother, who's Japanese, was born in L.A. in 1918. So she was an American citizen, but they were all rounded up and sent off to the camp. So I wrote that song, Take What You Can Carry, based on...
Because the 2 days, the 48 hours.
Yeah, when I wrote the song, it was just a couple years ago, and the fires were happening, and a lot of people were finding themselves faced with that, situation where they had to evacuate and take what they could carry. And as the world heats up and there's more and more refugee crisis, this theme of take what you can carry becomes.
And like it never gets learned, right? The lesson... Repeat, humans don't learn, and we keep repeating the same hells and putting our each other in these situations. Yeah, it's kind of, you were talking to Sierra Madre in Santa Anita, the racetrack. Yeah, Corey Nakatani, he doesn't do Japan Day because they put his father in the stables there. Because the camps weren't built, they had to build them, so.
Yeah, my family was at the Santa Anita racetrack for at least a month, and they were given like some sacks to fill with the horse hay.
Well, we're at the end of the second hour. I'm so sorry. November 9, 2021, edition of Watch from Pedro Show. A special guest, Mia Doita. Hold tight for hour three. November 9, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Papaya for Papa and Mama. Thank you.
Candle at both ends, and every day was a weekend.
Watt for Pedro show, start off third hour. Waimea Valley. And this is Mia Doi Todd, but it was remixed by Julia Hodder and Tashi Wada.
Yes, that's a song from my new record, Music Life. And I did a remix album for the record, and it's called 10 Views of Music Life. So Julia Holter, who's an amazing singer and songwriter in her own right, she remixed the album with her husband, Tashi.
Yeah.
And Waimea Valley, I wrote that song when my daughter was a baby, and we spent some time in Hawaii. Right. And the first few, you know, it's a beautiful thing when a baby's learning all those, learning to eat, learning to use its hands, and those are special times. So in that song, I kind of codified that time for myself.
And codified with a geographical location?
Yep.
Okay, and then the Petrit Pa Touchgoon Miosin profile from James Twig Harper and Rubber O Cement. Finally, Music Life, Mia Doi Todd. Music Life. Music is life, huh?
Just a moment. Hi. Music Life, that track, I wrote, hey, Mike, can we pause for one moment?
Yeah.
Or are we live? So we're talking about Music Life, the track?
Your song.
My song.
Yeah, I saw a Rerat Kumail cartoon that said Music is Life. So, I mean, you can't copyright a song title, right? So a lot of people have. But I personally believe music is a lifeline.
Oh, yes, Music Life. Yeah, so that's the title of my album that came out this year. It couldn't be a more generic title, really. But it pretty much sums up my the past, you know, the half of my life. So the track itself, I wrote one night. I had been working on the piano part for a while, as I was saying, and I had some melody, but it wasn't really coming to mind what this song was about. And then a dear friend of mine passed away, a great musician, and young. He was too young, you know. And I went to his memorial service, and I came home, and that song just poured out, all those lyrics. I think I had to edit out some because it was even longer than that. And I think the track is almost 10 minutes. So I had a lot to say, and it sums up the whole album, which, as I was saying before, kind of is the dialectic between motherhood, parenthood, trying to balance that with the creative life and how to temper oneself to live long and healthy and be there to take care of your family with, you know, pursuing the muse and other things you do to follow that. And it was sort of a cautionary song, Music Life, but also, you know, sort of celebrating a life lived in music so fully. I'm so grateful for finding the path of music and having it provide this rich life for me. And I think of all the people I've played shows with and collaborated with, and it's been a really rich life. So that song is kind of about all those things.
Tied together with losing a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's intense. But that's the way life is. It combines things that, whoa.
The happy and the sad.
Yeah. Okay, Little Bird. Let's play that.
Just go away.
Thank you.
Watford Pedro, last music for this edition. Mia D'Artois with Little Bird. Start off that chunk. Then Like in Tennis to Heaven. Godspeed You Black Emperor, Montreal. And then finally, Mia D'Artois, Daughter of Hope.
Daughter of Hope. So I wrote that one. That's the last track on my new album, Music Life. This one is an ode to my daughter. It's like a devotional song, and another piano one. My daughter, when she was little, she really felt competitive with the guitar. It was like me holding another baby, and she would swat it at it, and she didn't want me holding the guitar. So I started writing a lot of songs on piano. So there are a lot of keyboard piano songs on my new record, Music Life, and Daughter of Hope is the last track. And we had some production help from Money Mark.
Money Mark, I love that guy.
I know, he's a cousin of mine.
Yes!
And, yeah.
He's a cousin!
Not bad.
Wow, okay, small world. He's incredible, yeah. Cat. I've known him for a number of years now. Gardena guy. He started off with ska.
Yeah. He lived in my dad's building for like 15 years, so he's like a brother to me.
He
gave production help and played on
the one in
Frogtown? Album. That's my dad's building.
Okay. Mm, yeah. I actually put a dent in my boat. Not a big one, a little one on that loading dock thing there.
The loading dock has, yes, that has scarred many a car. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay.
My friend came over with his brand new minivan. He was like so excited, and then right into the loading dock.
You got to really be careful because there's an incline there that you can't, and a blind thing there. So I learned after the first time. But I love that man, and he's so creative, and I've gotten to do a lot of good things with him and stuff. But you know what? When we're talking about you younger and playing, you didn't talk about the keyboard. So did you teach yourself how to play piano?
Yes, pretty much, yeah. And I'm a muscle memory kind of person. I don't really know the chords I'm playing. I don't know the names of things. It's very embarrassing when I go to, you know, teach my songs to, like, the bass player that is so, you know, knowledgeable of all such things, and I have to fumble my way, and, you know.
You know what, though? At the end of the day, it's stuff coming out of the speakers. They don't know how it got there.
I know.
You know, like Frank Morgan in The Wizard of Oz, right? To pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. He's the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. And I'm still very much geared towards, like, what I could play live.
Yeah.
I'm still, like, a performer and songwriter, like a bard, you know? So the piano parts are all stuff that I'm able to play live and sing at the same time. And that's how we recorded the album. We luckily recorded it before COVID in this awesome studio that is not really existing anymore, but it was where Stevie Wonder recorded a bunch of albums. So I got to play this 9-foot grand piano that Stevie Wonder, it now belongs to Stevie Wonder, but it was still in the studio at that time, and he recorded a bunch of records on it. So that's why we chose Money Mark. He directed me to this studio because of that piano. So that's on that track.
I don't know which albums are, but like three of them he did with playing almost pretty near everything. Started with the drums.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah,
yeah. The Intervisions and that stuff. I know that era. He really is an amazing cat. And Little Bird.
Little Bird, I wrote that as advice to myself and to a friend. We all grew up together, and the things that happen to you in your youth, it takes, you know, your whole lifetime to get over them. And
sometimes if you do.
if you never do. So, and if you don't get over it, maybe you can just get through them and, you know, forge a way forward. Right. So that song, it's kind of has like this light samba, like, you know, happy, everything's happy on the outside, but at the inside the song on the bridge, there's like some dark secrets in there. So, and then it goes back to everything's okay. So that's kind of the way you have to get through life, seems like, oftentimes.
Yeah, well, birds can be very inspiring, but if you were the size of a bug, you might be chowed.
So that one's funny. It proposes all these places to go to get away.
Right.
I'm a LA you know, born and bred, and I've always dreamed of moving away, leaving the big city, going somewhere else. So that one is like inspiration to, you know, try other things.
Maybe tour life.
Oh, tour life, yeah. That for a long time that satisfied that. But now I have my family.
Right,
and
of course. Different focus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're like the sun in your solar system, so all these things can orbit you and be righteous.
Yeah.
Mina, it's been a big honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Please come back. Any other new stuff you do?
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's been a fun.
Okay, people, November 9, 2021, edition of Wap Pedro Show, KB Powder Drop.